Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hello, and welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 585, recording live on December 11th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Sadriel.
I'm another one of your hosts, Dave.
And I'm the last host, Cowtown Tony.
There we go. We just finished our main topic. For those of you who are still listening, we're going to head on to our main, the rest of the episode. You know, it's, I guess the other one's the main topic. This isn't the main part. This is the second main part.
Tertiary part?
I don't know.
Adrian's rusty. Jeez.
Keep going. So I missed a week and I'm
too much slap on our vacations.
Tell you what, yeah. I'm going to go on a rant. Ready for my rant?
Do it.
Okay, here's everything I did in Guns for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
I wanted
to go get a drink. I'll be back.
I went on a day hunt with a listener on, I think it was on a Saturday. Yeah, we saw some deer.
It was the last day of the season, so it was a Saturday. Yeah.
The weather was not great. It was cold, but yeah, we saw some deer. It's good. I think next year will be even better. Yeah, I think he'll
you
be
only
coming.
Saw
to...
some deer.
Oh yeah, yeah, we saw some deer. We didn't get a shot on the whitetail. We got a shot on the muleys, but we didn't have tags, so we didn't shoot. So it was just like, oh, they're right there, but we couldn't shoot them. And that was that. So
you should always have like a, I don't know how. Well, it's probably possible. Grab the empty tags. Have your cell signal, register the tag.
There's no muley in general in this area.
Oh, no,
there's
general.
Almost no
okay.
muley general in most areas of hunt. So it's whitetail and whitetail only. Anyways.
I didn't even know you had whitetail out there.
What? It's the majority of them.
I didn't know that was a thing when I was out. All I saw was muleys.
No.
I don't see any whitetail.
No,
mostly whitetail.
I don't even think I've seen a muley that I've recognized, which is like this year time frame, I guess.
Yeah,
like you didn't. You gotta look for a party before. Or?
Yeah. Anyways, it was good. Yeah, he might be coming out to hunt camp next year when
nice.
We do the big Hunt-O-Rama long weekend kind of a thing. Sunday, I was testing some guns at the range. Which guns do they test?
The appeal.
I know what I did.
The Pro-Hebs. Yes.
No, I didn't.
No, don't even joke
out.
About that. Oh, the RCMP then shows
no.
up.
No, that was before the ban.
I took my Glock 48 out. Oh, it was super cold. Yeah, it was super cold. I took my Glock 48 out, and I went with a friend. And I don't think I can talk about what we're doing. So nothing illegal, but he'll probably want to put it on his YouTube channel at some point. So I'll leave it at that. I ordered some Herders 223 from Cabela's using my Cabela's gift card. So that should come in at, I don't know, 60-some cents around. So I think it was a good deal.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
And I was talking to Dave. I was like, hey, I got this 334 coming. I kind of want to disable this axis, but I can't because the firing pin is required for the bolt not to fall apart. He's like, oh, Western Gun Parts has some. Why don't you get a bunch and grab some for me while you're at it? So I did that. So I can snap that tip off the firing pin and make it into a PAL gun. Because a Savage axis is a pretty good PAL course gun, right? In terms of like, hey, this is a kind of a bolt action you're going to run into. Absolutely. You're going to run into something like this.
Oh, yeah. Mag release is pretty good. Two position safety, so nothing.
Yep. Tank safety, really good. I would say that it's not perfect though, because a lot of people like, they would try to be loading it and it would like jam up a little bit and then they'd pull back all the way and then go forward again and double feed the thing instead of just wiggling it a bit and putting it in. So
they haven't learned how to double clutch yet. That's
yeah. They need to learn how to double clutch. That's exactly their problem. Yeah, that's basically with the Savage Axis. Saturday, Sunday, I did a PAL-RPAL combo, two classes. Yeah, it was good. Did the PAL with my buddy Colin and the RPAL. We just had a couple of people, so it was just myself that did that one. I've scheduled January, February, and March PALs and RPALs at Sherwood Park and at CTL in Devon there. So lots and lots of classes for the week, for the winter, all kind of scheduled out. I have a couple more than a couple things waiting on Canada Post right now. I've actually been kind of enjoying the lack of flyers. And I think it's going to be funny when
that
all this
fun
stuff starts coming in. But I've got a Stevens 334 and 6.5 Creedmoor, three Trigger Tech triggers, 750 rounds of 223, the Brownell stuff. That's, I think, on the way to, I don't know where that is. A recoil spring and rod for my GSG 1911-22. Yeah, and probably some more stuff that I'm just not even remembering.
You're just going to get a skid dropped off on your front doorstep one day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm helping out with a pal on Thursday just to help with the handling and testing. And then I've got an RPAL on Sunday. So pal, RPAL all the time is pretty much what I'm doing. David, what about you?
I went to a Christmas dinner / final meeting of the year for East Grey Gun Club. So that was nice. Nice to see a bunch of members out and some people I hadn't met before and sit around and share a meal and yak about guns and how much we dislike our current government and their policies. There was a lot of that. Right off the bat, president of the gun club, don't bring your prohibs. We got a call. Don't bring them to the club. They will shut the club down. So I had a few people asking if they could still bring their prohibs. I'm like, no. The local MPP came out. So that was very nice to see him come out and spend some time with the gun club members. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really nice. Not a gun guy, but he said he's doing his Christmas
tour. As long as he recognized the sport.
Yep. And he said, nice to come out and spend time with good people in the community. They're doing good work. So
yeah, of course, if you can get an MP, that's Terry Bryan level. That would be chef's kiss, but you know, that's difficult.
Yeah, they're pretty busy and they cover a large area. So the MPP was nice. That was good. We need people on our side in politics, no matter what level they're at. They all affect us. What else did I do? I finished, I got to strip some scopes off some now prohib guns and put them on non-prohib guns. And I think I'm finally going to get around to building that, my little straight pull, because I'll need something to shoot this year and I don't have any rifles left. So other than my Enfield, which I'm not shooting.
Completed the build already.
Nope.
What do you got for a barrel?
Sitting in a box. I've got an IBI 18 and a half inch IBI stainless steel. So ooh, she should be a TAC driver. So I'm looking forward to firing it. 5.56. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I tossed that on the AR-15 build and then it got prohibited. So it's been sitting in my safe for 5 years. So I get to actually put it on that rifle and I'm going to build a little precision rifle, and I've got all the optics in the world now. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Assuming I have magazines after February, depending on what happens there. I don't know. It may be a single shot at that point. Maybe. I don't even know how that would work. What else did I did? Cleaned a couple guns because I hadn't cleaned them in a while. Took apart my GSG because I used it at range day 2 years ago and I never actually cleaned it or did anything. So I just threw it back in the gun safe, dumped some oil in it, and I took it out and I racked it and dropped the slide, and the slide slowly went forward into battery. And then I remembered that, oh yeah, we fired like 500 rounds through that thing that day. So it was, I just kept dumping oil into it and wiping the goo off, and it mostly worked for that day, but it's not working anymore. It will not. It's a manual action now. You have to manually cycle each round in.
Did you spray like a bunch of Balistol on it?
I did not. I just dumped CLP into it during the day.
CLP should be good. I found Balistol, if you leave it for too long, it'll like way too thick, it'll gum up. Yeah. But
no, this is all the goo that was in it. It's it is black because we were shooting. I don't even know. The club provided for the range day. They provided the ammo, and it was I mean it worked. But it was kind of gross, and it's 22 anyway, right? So they're disgusting. And we fired 500 rounds through that gun. So yeah, everybody wanted to shoot it. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, I got to clean some guns. That one was good. It works much better now that it's not full of goo. Finished cleaning up my brass, so I've got that all bagged and off my floor, so I can see my floor and walk across it. And the cat's much happier. So that stuff's all bagged up and ready to go. And somebody's getting a sandbag of 5.56 for Christmas. So they're going to be pretty happy with that. All the 5.56 you could ever use. And that's about it. How about you, Tony? What have you been up to?
Well, I was crying in the corner and during the emergency episode, and you guys did the emergency episode without me, so I was crying so much harder. Well, since the whole prohibition thing, maintenance came back to me, so I was like, okay, I'm going to clean the Kel-Tec Sub 2000 properly. So actually, the first time I ever took the handguard off, it's not too complicated, quite a few screws, like 10. Take the screws out, take the nuts off. Surprisingly, throughout my neglect, the barrel is still clean, still not rusty, so that's all good. Went to the range. I don't know why. After the prohibition, I decided to go to the range 2 days in a row. So I bench shot the MVP on top, and here are some results. Fortunately, I wasn't able to access the 100-yard range. There was an ORPS event going on, but I was able to set up a laser range find confirmed 50 yard with some of these are hand loads, different bullet types, 50 yards. Some of the groups are okay. This is a Hornady 55 grain group. For some reason, the Barnes match burners shot really poorly out of this gun. A spear target match, 50 grains, pretty decent. Varmint shoots okay. This is just the side-in loads. This is Cam Pro 55s. Yeah, so okay groups. I also, last time I bought some match grade 69 grainer 223 loads factories. Seller and Belletier. Barnes actually shot a little bit better here than my load, I guess. Also, I was lazy, so the 55 and the 69s have the same powder charge. Both same powder charges, but so that means 55 is kind of on the low end. 69 is kind of on the mid-high end. And Norma shot okay, and if you followed us on Discord, you'll see I mentioned the Match King is still king.
Wow.
That was just at 50, though. So it's not amazing, but it's MOA, so that's pretty decent. I guess out of the bolt gun, it's probably expected. And then if you're following us on Discord, I had an out of battery on the PR. I'm thinking if it's due to when I'm driving to the range, I'm thinking in the back of my head, if this thing is going to blow up in price, maybe I'll sell it. So maybe she wasn't too happy about the whole abandoning thing. So I don't know. I was trying to shoot a group at 50. It was huge because I have 3X. My eyes are terrible. By the way, these groups are shot on a Golden Eagle at 60x at 50 yards. I could use more. So I'm like 2x per yard kind of a guy.
I wonder with the out of battery, you were trying to shoot fast, I assume. Did you actually have the pump like loaded to the rear when you pulled the trigger?
I believe I did, but here's the thing. So gun went out of battery. Didn't really affect me much. So what I felt was there was gas leaking past the gap between the receivers. I was like, okay, maybe I should stop. Lower gun, make sure I'm not bleeding. Or I wasn't. And it's just gas. And you'll see the picture on Discord as well. My glasses weren't even affected. They're just a little dirty, really. So looked into that. Took the gun home, took it apart. Found out the bullet is still in there, so I have to get a rod, get a hammer all the way through. That was all fine. Cleaned the barrel, cleaned the whole trigger. It's like filled with semi-half-burned powder and stuff. Yeah. So I'm not too sure what happened. And it wasn't at a location where case head separation would have happened. It's kind of more to the middle of the case. So cleaned the gun out, second day, went back to the range. And I intentionally tried. If I pull really hard on the pump, as in doing regular pull, the gun will actually lock up after firing. It won't let you extract it right away. You kind of have to wiggle a little bit forward and then push it back. So if you're holding onto the pump a little bit more loose, the recoil kind of helps you out, as in the pump will kind of jits forward a little bit and then you'll be able to extract it. So I really don't know what happened there. And I know for a fact it is not overcharged. I'm using a lead auto disc powder measure. So I was loading them pretty light. It's a manual gun. I don't need it that hot. And so I really don't know.
Given how the case was like bulged apart in the ejection port, like actually in the body of the gun in the receiver, yeah. if it was fully chambered and you pulled the trigger, that would have never happened. It literally would have taken that. Well, nothing would have happened. Like even if you had a case head separation or something, you would have pulled out the chunks. But right. If you look at the way it's exploded, there's actually a chunk where you can see a piece came off the side of it and it peeled back.
Correct.
So that could not have happened when the gun was
chambered. And
so the round
if you, I believe the length is still there and there's no neck left on that case. It's the neck is like 45 diameter now.
Yeah. That's because it wasn't fully in
chamber. It wasn't in chamber.
It was in the chamber.
People have said before that AR-style guns, you're not supposed to get out-of-battery detonations like that. So I don't know if there was a hammer follow, I was pulling the trigger too fast, and it wasn't fully in chamber, it was a slam fire?
No, I don't think you can hit the... I don't think your firing pin can reach the... Because it's a turn bolt, right? Just like an AR is? Your firing pin can't reach the cartridge, can't reach the primer unless that head is turned inside the barrel extension. The only way you get an out of battery explosion with one of those things, and I know exactly what happened with yours, is if you're ramming it in and that round didn't go in correctly and the sharp edge of the bolt is now pressing on that primer and hitting that primer.
But the primer looks correct.
It's
like
struck,
like right it's struck with a firing pin.
Yep.
I didn't see that photo.
So yeah. I know it's puzzling. I sent an email to Troy. My gun's technically still under a year old. So, we'll see what they say.
Did you put it on the Discord?
I did. At least I
saw. Which channel?
What I did again, I think.
What we did in guns, blow it up.
What I did in guns, I blew up my PR.
I don't see the primer in there.
Maybe I didn't send the primer picture. Yeah. I still have all the stuff. I'm not going to throw that case away. It's probably pretty.
It's interesting.
Pretty memorable. Yeah. I cleaned up the gun. Shots shoots fine. There's like I don't see any visible damage to it.
The fact that the bullet didn't even leave the barrel and it burned so much of the powder, you didn't have an overpressure.
I don't think so.
It just blew the casing. Whatever.
Now it's having light strike issues. Well, here's a disclaimer. I didn't shoot a lot of factory Winchester white box out of it before. So I don't know if that's a code plus ammo thing. And it's only doing it intermittently, like 25% of the times it's going to have a light strike.
Did you disassemble the bolt fully and take the firing pin right out?
I did.
Did you clean the firing pin channel?
I did. Okay. And I did not oil that because I watched Brownell's video on how to clean AR. No, you shouldn't. I believe they actually recommend against it. Yep. Kyle did send me a photo of how long his firing pin is, a new one. I haven't measured mine yet, so I'm thinking
you'll be jealous when you do.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe it's a few thousands missing. I don't know. It's
You just keep saying that to yourself.
I hear some kind of a electrical noise. It still have to me. It didn't look different, as in it still have a distinct tip on it. So. Anyway, more troubleshooting to come. I have different types of ammo at PMC, Remington, Bose factory, and I can load some other stuff if that's needed. Last two things, a follow-up on the Savage 110. I'm not getting that gun now. They will allow me to reject my delivery on it, so that's good. So at least I'm getting my money back. But I'm guessing they're using Canada Post for store transfers. So that's going nowhere.
That's what they're doing for mine.
Yay. The second thing is...
Did you get a good price on it, Tony?
I did, but they didn't want to get me the price match, so no.
Oh.
So you did, but you didn't?
And so in the end, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty salty about that. And about the Brownells order, so at one point, it actually showed me a red warning saying it's returning to the sender because it's not deliverable. Because the whole Canada Post situation, Brownells is sending us through USPS, which is usually Canada Post on these on this side of the border. They send it out from Brownells headquarters in Iowa. It went to Des Moines, so which is their hub, I guess. Mentions the mail service is suspended. That was like December 4, 5, 6. It only had a mark on 3rd and the 6th. And for some reason, it cleared the custom at Chicago on the 6th?
Nice.
I don't even know which. But here's the thing.
Now it'll just wait.
It arrived at the USPS regional facility back at Chicago. So like
that's okay. They're just going to hang on to it. So it's cleared. It's pre-cleared customs, and they're going to wait until Canada Post is ready to accept mail, and then they're going to put it in. This is good. This is good news, Tony.
Okay.
I want to be optimistic.
Optimistic. If you still want those parts, that is.
if they get through, yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
If they won't come through, then no.
And I'm looking at options at self-importing at ITAR part. Apparently, you can. So I'm talking to one of my range buddies who has a firearm business. I don't remember if he finished the whole BINS license thing, but
maybe. I believe he needs an export. He needs an export permit.
Apparently, there is an exemption for under a certain dollar value, and you can self-declare it. There's more detail to come on that. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, I'm back to the whole story about me building a stupid AR bolt action thing. I'll be building because Bear Creek Arsenal out of the States does have 10.5-inch 450 Bushmaster barrels. So I'm going to get myself one of those and maybe blow up a deer. We'll see about that.
Only air.
Blow the lungs right out of it.
Yeah. To both sides, I'm going to load myself some copper pistol bullets. And hopefully the deer appears within 200 yards. I think that's probably my maximum engagement distance before it goes like this. Whole artillery thing, but yeah, that's all I did in guns this week. Oh, we also saw new members from the Shooting Edge at the BTSA, so that was fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Cool.
All right, moving on to upcoming events. Maple Seeds, it's winter, none of those. If you're in the Edmonton area, I have opened up a whole bunch of training courses for your pal and our pals. I'm doing an Our Pal on December 15th. December 25th, 26th will be a Pal Our Pal. February 8th and 9th. February 22nd and 23rd, March 1st and 2nd, and March 22nd and 23rd. I will be a busy boy in the spring. Lots and lots of courses available everywhere, all the time, all at once. BTSA Outlaw Precision is still going on.
Yeah, the Pro Series, they call it, the Precision Rimfire Outlaw Series, is still going on throughout the wintertime. So in case you want to pick up a new hobby, or you don't have to shoot, just go there and watch what they're doing. You know, a lot of bands, if you don't want to sunk a lot of investment into a new shooting hobby, take a look.
Yeah. For 3-Gun, actually, I did see a match going on. It looked very sad. Oh, God,
the depression match.
Yeah, depression match is kind of what it was, yeah. Getting into the news, new legislation takes in large knives, machetes, bear spray. Who's this? And is this new?
I'm pretty sure that will be Dustin.
Dustin?
That'll be my guess.
Okay, well, we're going to hold that over for him for next week then.
I took a short look at it. It's kind of, I have a mixed feeling about it. It's saying they don't have to have a reason to confiscate your bear spray. Apparently, it's a big issue there where teenagers are armed with these things.
Yeah, they're doing that in Edmonton and that kind of thing here, yeah.
I guess.
Interest law to allow police to seize without charges. Okay, so they can just say, hey, we don't like what you're doing here. We're just going to take it.
Random Dave, you are muted.
Yeah, I don't...
There we go. If you're not charging me, I'll see you at the station to get my stuff back, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think...
Potential street weapons. Potential.
What is this? Prohibit people from defacing or altering street weapons to make them easier to conceal? What the hell is that?
Defacing? Like you, like, spray a stop sign on the side of it so you can just stand at the side of the road and no one will know you have a knife?
No, altering street weapons.
Street weapons.
To make them easier to conceal. What is this, like taking the handle off of a knife and using it as a shiv?
Probably.
Oh, that seems crazy. Like such a waste of time.
Oh, by the way, news flash. I just got an email from Royal Canadian Mounted Police talking about the December 2024 OIC. I don't think they said they're going to contact you again if you may be possession. Oh, you are contacted. Okay. I may be in possession of one of these. I'm not sure if they're basing that off of my restricted, which they really should inform me, or if they're basing it on my non-restricted.
So what they will probably do, I suspect, is exactly what they did last time. They will spend a couple million bucks and they will send a mailing to every single person who has a firearms license in Canada saying, hey, you probably got a prohib now, so have a nice day.
Yeah, but when is that going to happen?
Soon. Probably 2 weeks
after
the next election.
Yeah.
No, I don't expect the strike to be over until the new year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Not that it matters anymore, but, and that's what the post says, the SU-16. So receiver's cracking. We knew about that. Yeah. I heard that it had been fixed. This is now the gas tube splitting in half. So wherever it must be.
There's the spring.
It looks like it's pinned.
That's the,
is it a two piece?
Yeah, it must be at some point.
Looks like a pin
long stroke.
There.
Yeah.
Looks like a pinhole.
But like the tube that it goes in is being broken. And I saw another person. Yeah, look, same thing happens. Sorry, let me zoom in for you guys here. They said the tube split in half. How did help? I don't know. I was shooting and it fell off. And this person says same thing happened to me. Just the 2024 just got this summer. Same. So it might be just something that's happening with the new ones.
Did the WK-180 guys take over production of the Kel-Tex?
Yeah.
Just maybe their supply of magical white powder wasn't enough that week.
Well, that sucks. But yeah, you'll have at least 9 months to fix that problem now. So,
and Kel-Tec apparently does have a functional warranty department in Canada again, so that's nice.
Can you ship it? Can you ship it to the warranty department? Can you take it out of your house to mail?
Yeah, because I think it's Gravel or something like that.
No, it was a different company. They're not
Yeah, but it's a warranty center here. You don't have to ship it out of country to get it fixed.
Can you even ship it?
You can't ship prohibs though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you can't take it to the post office. You can't drive it over to their depot. Mm-hmm.
At least the parts are going to be on order.
You can't send it to a gunsmith for the purpose of getting it fixed. That's not something you can do with a prohib.
Disable, you can. Yeah, I don't believe you can get a fix.
This next one is out of Edmonton here. There's a security guard who's killed.
I watched the video for that one.
Yeah, he was gunned down by some criminal piece of shit. Yeah, but it's really putting a spotlight on the criminal system, the justice system, because this guy, he's been in the news twice so far for doing crazy stuff with guns. He kidnapped someone at gunpoint. And he tried to rob someone at gunpoint. And aside from that, he stabbed people in prison, fought people, got charged with meth, stole a car.
Just turning his life around then. Just turning his life around. Any minute now.
Any minute now.
All the checklists, the whole checklist, you know?
And that's what I hate about stuff like this is you keep letting people out and they just escalate their behavior until they kill somebody and then you do something about it.
Yeah.
Why do they want to do something about it, though?
No, when you kill somebody, they will actually do something about that. But
especially
anything
when
short
it's
of
like
that,
when it's murder one, like they will.
Yeah, they literally marched into him into a room and shot him in the back and then walked out.
Yeah.
So pretty hard to say that's not premeditated.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And I'm glad that it's putting, I'm sad that upset that it happened, but I'm glad that it's putting such a decent spotlight on the problems in our criminal system right now, because they're just absurd, just ridiculous by this point.
So I was listening to Global News a couple days ago. I think it was Monday. Mm-hmm. And at the 6 o'clock news, they spent a solid 5 minutes talking about a string of shootings, armed robberies, carjackings, and all this crap in Toronto. And mm-hmm. every time they talked about the suspect, they went out of their way to say,
release.
Did not have a firearms license.
Yeah.
And the dude that shot one dude, was out. He had shot somebody before, I think. He'd gone to jail for a while, had a lifetime weapons prohibition. They let him out under mandatory release after 2/3 of his sentence was served, said that he has a moderate chance to reoffend, particularly against defensive partners. And like 3 days later, he shoots and kills his girlfriend outside the halfway house where he's staying.
I've heard about that. What is the halfway house? I don't understand that part.
When you get out of jail, rather than just putting you back into the general populace and saying, have a nice day, good luck, they'll put you into a halfway house for a certain amount of time. So it's,
it's like a supervised area?
It's supervised living. So you have to be back in the house. You can go work, but you have to be back in the house at certain times. So you have a curfew. There'll be other limits. They keep an eye on you. You're supposed to be there much of the time. Depends on what they tell you you have to do.
Put an AirTag on them. Technology is so cheap these days.
Well, they do that sometimes too, but an air tag mm-hmm. doesn't stop you from going and shanking somebody in theory. And I mean, most people in halfway houses are fine. They're just there that did their time and they're there to get out. But clearly this guy shouldn't have been out. And there's so many examples of this. And they listed a bunch of dudes. They busted a bunch of people for a home invasion. Ring.
Home invasion. Yeah. 12 of them. And they're like, 17. Seven of them are out already.
Yeah. Well, and a bunch of them were out on bail already. And they caught a guy doing carjackings out on bail. My idea for all this, build a halfway house, take whoever the judges are. They go stay with them. You're on the parole board. These guys are rooming with you.
Yeah. I would like to see judges incentivized and disincentivized, aka fired when they did a poor job at this, because there's some judges that are doing a really poor job at this. And no one's going to fire them for this. No one's going to fire him for, you gave this guy a light sentence and he went and shot someone. That judge doesn't get fired. They need to get fired.
Well, you should. Yeah. Because you got people killed. So good job.
Poor performers. Like in any other job, they would be poor performers and they would be like, hey, you know, they'd be having a performance management. They'd be put on a PIP with their boss and then, pushed out.
Yeah. Well, some of these, I don't even blame the people though. I mean, the parole board in the case of the dude that shot his girlfriend, they literally said he's moderate chance, but we cannot hold him.
Yeah.
We saw that with
one of these other ones as well. Yeah. He served 2/3. We have to let him go, but we'd really rather not.
Put some technology on them.
But again, that doesn't stop. No, there's the
technology. The technology is to leave them behind bars. They're just so like some people just aren't compatible with society. Yeah. They just need to stay locked up.
Well, look at the guy at James Creek, James Creek First Nation. I mean, 31 casualties, and the guy had 56 previous, over 50 previous convictions, many of them violent, including stabbing a bunch of people on multiple occasions. They let him out. You wind up with 31 casualties, including 12 dead, and who knows how many millions of dollars. Tracking the guy down, all that police time and people inconvenienced and hundreds of people traumatized because of it. And then you get told, it's because compassion for these people. You need to get them out in the community. I feel compassionate for a rabid dog. I really do. I feel terrible for it. Still going to do what needs to be done. I don't feel
passionate about the rabid dog either.
I feel bad for the dog, but it is what it is and you can't do anything about it. So in the case of these people, we don't hang people anymore. So, you know, if somebody has proven over and over and over and over that they cannot play nicely with others, do not let them out ever. Period. Full stop. No, don't do it.
Okay, let's keep going. What's the next one here? Ian's coverage on the gun ban. Anything to mention from this one?
Fabulous video watching.
Fabulous video.
Ian's the best. Yeah, love that dude.
CCFR fighting misinformation. Yeah, the CTV said most of the crime guns are legally owned. I think it was a faux pas, was not?
Or it did he mean was, that? But he just kept going. And he was just trying to talk right over Rod, and Rod did not allow that to happen. So thank you, Rod, for correcting.
Yeah, thank you, Rod. I don't think this part, this CTV thing will ever be out on the internet just because it was such an embarrassment. But maybe they don't take it as an embarrassment. I don't know.
He was getting through that interview. It was like, I have to be here doing this, but I don't want to do it. So I'm just going to keep talking. Like, he was just talking right over Rod. This is really rude, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Slow down, dude.
Chance interference, prove relations. That's a neat tactic.
Dude, like, that guy's fun. Love him.
Yeah. China's foreign interference is mostly aimed at improving bilateral relations, says Liberal Senator.
Get the relations so good, I don't even know what to comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
That dude's bank account would be interesting. Anyway.
No, so, like, I'm not really focused on Liberal, on LPC problems right now, because they're out. There is no saving them. There is no, they can't get worse, much worse in their votes.
Literally can't bribe you to vote for them.
Yeah, just want the election to happen.
Yep.
This is the one I was thinking of here, Dave, that Project Skyfall, 17 people charged, firearms recovered, $14 million of drugs seized. Just a huge, huge list of charges. And people who already had weapons prohibitions. Someone accessed the databanks of the Ministry of Transportation to benefit the criminal network. So they were looking for people's addresses and that kind of thing.
So I'm guessing they were an employee, because that's happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an employee. Yeah. So this was, these were the home invasion guys. They must have been, invading like drug houses that they knew had lots of cash on hand?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Half of these people are already out. Half these people are already out on release.
I'm shocked. It's only half, frankly.
They put all this work into a year long investigation with multiple people, charging all these people. And there are, like, I think the cops spent more time on this than they will in jail.
I've had some interesting conversations with police officer friends who find it, they know who these people are half the time. Like, they literally know who they are. And it's incredibly frustrating that they go out of their way, they bust the guys, they drag them in, and then, they're just out on bail. And chances are pretty good they'll be arresting them again in a short time, because they're just going to go do the same sort of crap. There's no lesson learned from this.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
I want to get a little bit more lighthearted. Let's do a meme review of some of the memes around the gun ban here. And if anyone wants to see these memes, they're all up on the Discord for Slamfire Radio. Am I going to have problems with that? I am going to have problems with that. One second, let me just share my whole window.
Oh, the new windows are considered as a pop-out. Yeah.
Screen, that one, this one, right? Yes, that one. And then we go back there and then hit the... No, I want to play it. There we go. Ukrainian soldiers after opening Canadian supply drops and seeing that they're GSG-16s. Yeah, that's going to be kind of upsetting. There's a couple kind of like that. This is that's the Socialist Rifle Association. Under no pretext should firearms and
Socialist Firearms Association? Isn't that just straight communist theorists. Government? Really?
But they like guns.
Well, I mean, they're half right.
Yeah. Those liberals looking at someone. Boy, I sure can't wait to enjoy my semi-auto rifle. We're adhering to stringent magazine and capacity restrictions and storage and transportation laws. Liberal Party, I fucking hate you and hope you die. Here's a new GSG, eh? Straight from a legal pal, older, eh? This'll turn the tide, eh? I'm going to fucking die. Yes, you are. Kodiak Defense, Canadian government. Yeah.
A lot of truth to that.
Bunch of different ones. Yeah. GSG-16.
Just the whole meme around GSG-16, that's one of the most outrageous ones. So
it is because
the 22, right?
The GSG-15 was banned because it was a SCAR variant. But then the GSG-16, they just banned it. They just named it. It's like, but why? Is it an assault rifle variant? Well, no. But we're just banning it by itself.
Because
they didn't say it's MP5 variant. I'm surprised.
No, they didn't.
They don't have to. They can just ban it and say LOL.
So. Yeah, GSG 50 and 60. Not even the younglings survived.
I know your son's pretty pissed about it.
Yeah, he is. Bought X95 December 3rd, December 5th.
Yeah, come on, Justin. Think of the children with the GSG 15s and 16s. What's wrong with you?
Sea level rises in global warming. It's all the guns lost overboard in tragic boating accidents. Let's push them to Stalingrad. One guy's got a GSG. I think I see an SU's. No, that's a Kel-Tec Type 81 in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, not a Kel-Tec, Kodiak.
WK 180, yeah.
Canadian gun owners after another gun ban. I'm tired, boss.
Yeah.
Parliament suddenly finding a large supply of illegal guns to send to Ukraine. I can send. I don't. Got a couple here. Yeah, everyone.
Ah, that's a classic
2020.
One.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a classic.
First
that's
time.
Actually, it is my first time. Sorry, but yeah. I'm surprisingly very calm about it. Whatever. Whatever.
Tony, this is
like maybe it's just because I have a perspective. Like looking at Taylor.
Yeah,
his whole world shoe is gone.
Yep.
Yeah, and practice.
Okay, sure. I go to a weekend match. Okay, I'm pretty amped about the Alberta Provincials PCC held at BTSA. Very cool. It's like okay, 10 less weekend shooting. That's fine. It's like, he can earn a world title.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he still can't. He's four or something.
Go talk to Ryan Stacey if you want to hear about heartbreak with your guns being bad, because that dude is a multiple Queen's medalist and is probably the best AR shooter in the country, frankly. He is a damn fine rifle, service rifle shooter. And that's what he spent, I don't know, 20 years of his life doing. And then they're like, nope. Can't do it because public safety. So yeah, I feel really, really bad for guys like that.
Yeah, Kodiak's saying that Kodiak is apparently going to be selling Gen 3 uppers still in the meantime. I mean, they can. And for some people that might, be strategic. They're banned, but yeah, the government's going to give fall in, 6 months.
Maybe get a good deal.
Whatever. Yep.
Probably explains all the stuff being sold, all the GSG magazines suddenly flying off the shelves.
I'll buy, but only if it's a good deal.
Yep.
When you get to shoot, when you go to the range to shoot your favorite guns in the morning, only for the government to ban those same guns that evening. At least I got to shoot you one last time.
Beauty and the Beast.
You shall pass, but holy fuck. Oh man, I guess I have to give up my Browning M3 aircraft. That's one other thing I heard was that they put in some real machine guns in there so that Ukraine was like, holy shit, you guys have some of those? Yeah, we'll take that. You got some M2s? We'll take the M2s.
That's what I want to play devil's advocate for. If the Ukrainians saw the list, there's freaking Stingers on there. Yes, we want that, of course.
Yeah.
How many do they exist here? None, maybe one, I don't know.
Nobody has those, but it's like the M2s. It's prohibited. We'll take it. Well, great. I mean, the Canadian Army has some. You might be able to get something off them, but civilians. And the civilians that do have that stuff, they're not seizing it because it was all prohibited in the 70s. I know
also,
people have M2s sitting in their basements, but the government isn't taking those. So whatever, guys.
Also, the compensation cost for Stinger is $2,350. Get that for wholesale.
The ISIS guys would be all over that.
Golly.
Yeah, you're not, yeah, no.
Swiper, no swiping. That's a young picture there. Nobody needs these kinds of guns. Not like a rifle will do any good against an army with tanks and drones. Anyways, we're going to send all the confiscated guns to Ukraine.
Okay, that's funny.
Literally all the cops. Your gun bans accomplish nothing, liberal government. You know what? I'm going to ban guns even harder. It's gun banning time, buddy. Hope your evil weapons have fun in Ukraine, eh? No, Justin, not again. I got to play this one. It's too bad that you just have to imagine the music, though. And if you know the meme, you'll know what the music is, but Putin going to Kiev after all the shit pucks 180s blow up.
Yeah. I'm thinking Russian National Anthem. This was my favorite one.
Yeah, this one looks the best too. The pink GSGs for on the Ukrainian soldiers.
Zelensky and all his bodyguards with GSGs.
I think there's a picture. There's a fan photo of JT right there.
There's a couple of them if you look close.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, I think we got that one before there. We ran out of money to send to Ukraine, so we're going to have to steal your guns now. and that's all I got.
At least
memes are good.
What? No matter what's horrible in the world, I mean, even COVID and the May 2020 gun bans and the war in Ukraine and everything that's horrible in the world, at least the memes are good. So, yeah.
At least the memes are good is right.
Memes will get us through this.
Yeah, Sion's saying that my Tavor lasted longer than I thought it would, to be honest.
Me too, buddy. Me too. Yeah. I got to shoot a maple seed with it. So
glorious.
Now what are we going to shoot with KDs with? Jeez.
Straight pulls and bolt actions. So
Yeah. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need to do music, especially now. I guess you will, right? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. They have a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. This week, they have... Wait. Share the screen. Where is it? That one? No, this one.
Ooh.
Look at this clay target. Tony, you put this in here? Is this you giving up on real guns? You want to get to a shotgun? Go do some clay stuff now?
If you want to broaden your horizon.
Just hang up your shooting belts and like, nope.
Yeah.
Throwing in my hat, throwing in my belt. Time to go shoot some clays.
Put a new belt on. Was your pocket full of shells?
You know? The one that holds a full box on the side, right?
Pretty sure you just get like a shopping bag, like one of those reusable bags, and hang it over one shoulder and dump your shells in there. It's
no,
the same
Dave.
Thing.
No. That's no. Not you get one of those.
What?
Even though you're just going to the range to only shoot clays, you get an orange vest, a camo hat, an over-under, a very expensive over-under.
Yeah, got to be Italian.
Yeah, and you only really shoot one box of ammo. You go down, you shoot one box of ammo, and then you BS with the guys for a little bit.
And you have to rest the barrel on your feet. That's a mandatory option.
Get one of those ones that has the peg in the shoe. That's just like that.
So you can stick
the barrel on your foot.
That's amazing.
That's legit, though.
It's empty, whatever.
I have a range friend who is from Team Canada, and he does have it.
Really? That's the thing. That's weird. That's just weird.
This next part makes me feel like I'm like the kid on the outside looking into all the other kids having fun. Magpul and Ruger have released the RXM.
Nice.
Is it a Mooger or a Ragpul? Which one is it? It's a Ruger Magpul. It's a Glock knockoff.
I like Mooger.
That's made by them.
It's a Ragpul. How do you put the Glock part in there, though?
Because it's a Glock.
It's a Glock. It's a Gen. No, it's a Glock
I'm,
Gen. It's
I'm
a
saying,
Glock
how do you
Gen
mix
3 knockoff.
The three names into one.
Because then you get sued.
Also, it's kind of a SIG too because of the fire control unit gun.
That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it does have a fire.
That's the whole point.
Frame. Neat.
Cool. That's actually. I'd rather have just like a Gen 3 clone. More Gen 3 clones. Once things open up again, I want to get the cheapest Glock knockoffs. I want to get like the PSA dagger. I want to get that kind of junk.
Just see how they run.
I want Power that runs. In this one day. Mm-hmm. I have a holster. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I just want a 320.
Yeah, no, I need PAL guns. I need our PAL guns. Lots of them.
Right.
I'll as soon as things are unbanned, I'll probably buy 10.
Oh,
10,
wow.
10 pistols. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll use them. Indeed. Okay. Let's go on to the main topic.
Hey, Tracy Wilson. Thanks for coming on tonight. One of our most, look at that. Why don't we talk about that at the very end? We'll do like a bomb, not a bomb. That's the wrong word.
Yeah. Bombs are bad. Why are you talking about explosives? I thought we were talking about guns. What's going on here? Yeah, well, but no, we'll save the good news for the end. We'll deal with
right?
all first. Yes.
Okay. So Tracy Wilson, for those that don't know Tracy Wilson is our registered lobbyist for the CCFR, the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights. She is the VP of Communications.
Public relations. We just thought it sounded softer than Evil Gun Lobby, so we went with it. Yeah.
Tracy Wilson is lobby. So she is joining us this evening. We thought it'd be a great idea since there's some things that's happened in the very near distant past. Not distant. That's
the recent past.
Recent past. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Random Dave. That's good.
Previously in
Canada. So we wanted to get an update from Tracy Wilson on one, what happened on December 5th. Two, what was happening on Monday and Tuesday this
yes.
last week in the Supreme Court of Canada. And also she has a little surprise that she's going to talk about at the end of everything and on a positive note. So welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a lot. And I'm telling you, I apologize in advance to your viewers because I am a little bit under the weather. In fact, I'm actually sick as a dog. But I'm very well medicated, got Visine in the eyes, so we're good to go. I've got a fresh bottle of cold water here, so that should get me through it. And it's no surprise that I'm sick because I just spent 2 days sitting in the Federal Court of Appeals listening to liberal lawyers talk about guns. So
that'll make anyone ill.
Yeah, I think everybody would be a little ill after that. But yes, so as you know, on December 5th, on the eve of the 35th anniversary of the Polytechnique shooting, horrible tragedy in Canada's, you know, a very dark day in our history. The Liberals took it upon themselves to flip the switch on a channel changer. And I say this because at this point, I think it's more than obvious that that's exactly what's going on. They had been disinvited from the memorial for the Polytechnique, Poly Sousouvien group because they weren't, you know, they just weren't hitting gun owners over the head hard enough. So in typical liberal fashion, when you've got rising crime up 116%, shootings daily all over the GTA and Surrey and all other kinds of places, what do they do? Exactly what hasn't worked in the past. And they banned 324 more models and variants on the ban list. So, yeah, of course, this also follows, you know, you'll remember back in May of 2020. I know it seems like it was a long time ago, and it was, but they said, you know, these guns are just far too dangerous to own. They are not appropriate for civilian use. We're going to ban them. We're going to take your guns from you. We're going to compensate you for them. And you can just go buy something else that is suitable. And a lot of people were like, okay, well, that's, you know, everybody hated it. But a lot of people did go out and buy alternative firearms that they could now use because this is not a permissive ban. You can't use your stuff in the meantime. You've got to have it locked up. So people went out and bought other firearms, and then much to their chagrin, they find out last week that those ones were also banned now. So, yeah. Of course, the goalposts keep moving. The Liberals have no idea what they're doing. Crime is raging out of control. Justin Trudeau is on his way out the door. And at this point, I think it's safe to say that he's lighting a match, throwing it on the fire as he leaves, and just blowing everything up. So, yeah, so that's kind of where we stand on that. Rod and I have done a lot of media on the ban. Of course, it's very cynical and jaded and, you know, very obviously political. It's interesting, actually, if you listen to the press conference, they said that there will probably be other ones that they're going to still ban. They're going to keep reviewing the list and ban some more possibly in February. And a normal person would think to themselves, well, look, if you are reviewing lists of firearms and deciding which ones to ban, why announce some now, some later? Like, it's all over the place. Well, they needed that announcement for December 5th. And they, you know, it was full court press for the anti-gun lobbyists. They had Natalie Provost there, Heidi Rathjen, Wendy Suhier, you know, all the ghouls of the anti-gun lobby were there. And they were invited right to this press conference. So it was very obviously a gift to them. Right.
Who paid their travel bills and hotels and stuff? Just curious about how that worked for them.
Oh, I'm 100% positive the taxpayers paying for all of that.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Mm. No, you're not.
Well, don't forget.
Sarcasm.
I also remind all the, you know, leftist Twitter when they're laughing about us getting our guns banned. I'm like, well, you know, don't laugh too hard because the you are on the hook for paying for them. And your children will suffer the debt of this government because of the enormous cost that this is going to be. And that's if you were to believe for a single minute that they're ever going to get around to dealing with individuals. I know there's been some movement on the retailer side of this. But you have to remember, those are kind of two separate issues. I know there's some mixed feelings in the community, but this is how I look at it. I want gun stores to stay around because once we get all this stuff reversed, I want a lot of stores to go shopping at, right? I want everyone to do well and survive. At the same time, you've got, you know, I'm sitting here, I don't know how many guns Colin and I have that are banned now. I guess I'd have to do an inventory. But those are our private property, right? I mean, they're sitting down in the safe. It is what it is. We just moved on and bought some other stuff, and we'll come back to those in the future. But a gun shop could be sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars of inventory that they can no longer sell. They're paying storage on. They're paying insurance on. A lot of shops aren't going to make it if they don't get some sort of relief, right? So
there's a lot of lost opportunity there too, because you could, I ran a small business. You've got that $100,000. It's sitting there. That's just lost opportunity. You could have hired somebody else. You could have bought new inventory. You could have expanded. There's so much lost opportunity with that.
Yeah. So as much as I'd love it, if every store could just hold out, you know, we do have the amnesty until after the very latest possible date for the next federal election. I recognize that that's not a reality for all the stores, right? And in fact, I know of stores that just received, you know, more shipments of semi-autos that they could sell that are now just got banned last week.
Banned, yeah.
They were banned on in transit. So, yeah, this is going to be really difficult for the retailers. But I think it's vitally important that they do get some sort of relief. So I do look at that as a different thing. They're basically willing participants and whatever. I want to save our stores. So I can, you know, I can accept that. And for what it is, I think it's important. But I don't believe for a second this government will ever actually get around to the individuals. So, yeah. The timing of all this is also suspicious because, of course, as Kelly mentioned, Monday and Tuesday, yesterday, we had our 2-day hearing in the federal appeals court. So this is the, you know, the highest court in the country next to the Supreme Court. And it's a very different type of court because you don't have to try the entire case again. You know, we basically had like 3.5 years of court, an 8-day hearing in Ottawa in the federal court, and then we lost on everything. So we appealed it. And the appeals court, instead of having one judge or justice that listens to this, you have a panel of three of them. So we've got the chief justice of the federal appeals court sitting in the middle, and then two other justices. And as long as you can have one dissenting opinion in there, even if you don't win, you don't lose. Because if you can have one judge with a dissenting opinion that says, no, you know, I think the appellants were right. Then we're off to the Supreme Court, and we promised gun owners we would fight this tooth and nail with everything we've got. And we meant it. We're not going to just, you know, file a court challenge, fundraise off of it, and then duck out at the earliest convenience. That's not our style. We're in there, neck deep, fighting the dirty battle, and we will continue to do that. So we can expect a decision. You know, it's hard to say. There's no time limit. A lot of people are like, when will they decide? I mean, it could be weeks, but it could be months. But it definitely won't be as long as the federal court because, you know, they're not really retrying the whole case. They're basically trying the opinion or the decision out of the federal court by Justice Kane and seeing if there's an error in law, which we're pretty positive there is. And it wasn't us who did it, but the federal appeals court provided a link people could register and watch on Zoom. And a lot of people were watching along. I also was tweeting like a psychopath at the back of the courtroom. I live tweeted the entire thing. We were joking on our podcast today that my thumbs now have six packs. I need like bikinis for them. But Yeah, we put that out there. And a lot of people who were watching were saying like, wow, they were really asking a lot of questions. And that's what's very different about the appeals court is they do take a huge interest in it. And they're really digging down in it. There's a lot of case law that's referenced and a lot of questions. And the problem is if they don't find an error in the way that these gun bans were done using an OIC, then basically they're giving not only the Liberal government, but future governments carte blanche to do whatever they want through an OIC, evade the entire democratic process. You know, there's no debate in the House of Commons. There's no study by committee. There's no expert witnesses. There's no votes. It's just like an executive order. And I think, you know, for the sake of democracy, I think that would be like a tragedy. So, yeah, I don't expect that this will be over. Of course, I'd love to just come out of there with a win, and who knows, maybe we will. That would be amazing. But either way, unless all three judges kick us to the curb, we're not done. So, yeah, that's positive.
Okay, so sounds like it was okay. The message you're trying to get out to people is we're going to have to wait. You're not sure when that decision is going to come. A couple things that we do know about the December 5th announcement. One, I just hate the way that they use December 6th. So one of the things about December 5th is, can you explain to people, because people have been asking questions. They said, okay, these are all banned now too. Like they're prohibited. I can't do anything with them. There is an official list. Thank you for doing that. By the way, you posted an official list. We posted it on the Slamfire page too, social media. So people can go through that. But people are asking, what do they do with the stuff now? Is it the same? Or do they turn it in? And I'm going, no. Let's talk about that a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, well, and that's a really important point that you bring up, because interestingly enough, the retailer portion of this, which is like, you know, phase one, they've already received a memo telling them that they need to submit their inventory lists by, I think it was April 30th. I'd have to look back, but I think it was April 30th in order to apply for the compensation part. Otherwise, they would still be required to turn in all their inventory, but they wouldn't get compensation for it. And I thought, you know, I've been talking to my buddy Jeff Young, who's a very smart guy when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the amnesty that protects gun owners until October of 2025 also applies to retailers. So I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. Wait a minute. If they're protected by an amnesty, why do they need to submit lists? Well, they need to submit lists because the government wants to know where everything is. And I could very well see the government doing something like this for individuals too, saying, hey, yeah, you're protected by an amnesty, but either way, you're going to lose your guns. But if you want to get paid for them, you need to submit a list to us. And why that's very dangerous is the AR-15s, as you know, were previously restricted and therefore registered. They know who's got them. There's no denying that. There's no hiding them. It is what it is. But the majority of the other firearms that have been caught up both in the May 2020 OIC and the December 5th OIC, the majority of them were previously non-restricted, which means they were not registered, which means they have no idea who has what. So therefore, it's virtually impossible, unless you're going door to door to gun owners, kicking their door in and searching their houses. That's never going to happen. There's no way to know who's got what. So that's an interesting point. And I fear that if they put out a message like that to gun owners saying, you know, you have to submit your list of banned guns to us by, you know, May 25th or something like that, in order to get your compensation once the program rolls out, you know, I'm afraid people will fall for that. So I'm here to tell you, it's bullshit. Do not do that. You are protected by an amnesty. A bunch of things are going to occur between this date and that date. We will have a federal election. I think we'll probably have one in the spring. But even if we went all the way till next October, you're going to have an election before that happens. And we're also going to hear out of the Federal Court of Appeals, right? We'll get our decision. So yes, I cannot advocate for people to break the law. However, I would not reply to anything or submit any list of anything to anybody. Mm-hmm.
I would say that gives them ammunition, too, because if they do call an election, all of a sudden they're going to say, well, look, all these people submitted their lists. Here's all the guns we're going to take off the street and keep you safe.
Yeah. Yeah. To give them nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, yeah, that's my my best advice. But, yeah, it's just an interesting situation that we're in. And a lot of people are asking, too, like, what if the election, you know, goes all the way to the very end? There's only, I think, a week or 10 days between the next mandatory federal election date and the end of that amnesty. Correct. Either way, I think they're going to have to extend that amnesty. They've extended it, what, three times now?
Well, so, we have some people asking questions, so we'll bring those in too. But that is exactly that. They do not have – the first phase is retail. After that, it is potentially – well, it's supposed to be those that are owners, individual owners, but we don't have any money for it. They know they don't have any money for it either.
They don't have the time to do it either. No. I mean, you think about what that looks like. Before the addition of the guns on December 5th, we are at 518,000 guns across the country. The geographic size of Canada is massive. And we're, you know, it's not like everybody's in major city centers where you can go and have a drop-off depot. Like, it would literally take years to get all these guns gathered up if they were ever to do it. And it would cost billions upon billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever had any intention of really doing it. I think they'll do the retailer program. You know, they'll send that over to Polly as a little gift saying, look at, we're getting these guns off the streets. These assault weapons, very dangerous. You know, we're gathering them up. And I think that's probably where it'll stall.
Where it'll die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can't seize them before the election because then they won't be able to keep everybody safe after the election.
Yeah. Well, they keep everything this, once. Right? Yeah. They keep reusing the exact same, you know, they in court, they were talking about how it's been part of the Liberal platform since 2015. And I'm like, if nobody sees the irony in that, we're rolling up on 10 years. It's been in their platform. They've been in government and they still haven't done it. Right.
Well, that's why Polly disinvited them.
Yeah, they keep getting mad, but yeah, they give them enough, a little bit of a crumble of cookie crumbs there, and then they're, you know, happy for a little while. And then
I don't think those people are ever happy, frankly.
Yeah, you'll never satisfy those girls anyways until there's not a single gun in this country.
That is what their mission is. Yeah.
Well, there's a comment from the bands that were done in the mid-90s where it's like, okay, we got what we want. We're satisfied now.
Yeah. We're retiring. We're done.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Well, it's false. I mean, that's okay. I've got just as much stamina as them, if not more. So unless I die of this cold, which I don't think I will because it's not a man cold. So I think I'll be all right. But zing. But it should be fine. Yeah.
It should be fine.
Yeah.
Do we want to get into some of the questions people have been asking? Adriel, do you want to read them? Because my eyesight's
I have one that's not on the list, but that came up. What happens if someone's license expires? They got 6 months? I think they have 6 months.
Yeah. So there is a 6 month grace period to the expiration of your license. Of course, while you're in that grace period, you're not going to be able to acquire anything new or whatever. And I believe you're not allowed to take yours out either. But you're allowed to possess them and keep them stored up. But I know, like, it depends where you are in the country. I renewed mine just not long ago, actually. And I think I was under 3 weeks before I had the card in my hand. I renewed online, which is the best way to do it. Just, you know, try really hard to not miss anything on your renewal, and you should be fine. I know BC, however, is like they're, you know, usually months waiting.
Yeah.
So my advice to everybody is pull out your PAL or your RPAL right now or after the show. Look at the expiry date, calculate 6 months back, and put an appointment in your calendar so that you don't forget, you know, because that would be horrible to find yourself in that position. But
take a look at your parents' licenses and your grandparents' licenses and your friends and family that don't pay a lot of attention to that kind of stuff, but might have a couple of those banned guns, because I know, well, we're looking at the stats fairly recently here, and it's crazy the percentage of people who don't renew year over year. Yeah. And have restricted firearms or prohibited firearms. It's like, what was it, 10%, guys?
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot of people that do that.
Well, and I got one more little thing to add to this conversation about renewals is, a lot of people are talking about if they've got a loved one or a family member who owns handguns, of course, with the freeze, that's part of C21, which is now in legislation, they won't be able to pass those down, right? So people are asking me, well, what if I have a loved one who passes away and, their guns are here? Like, do I call the police to come and get them? And I can tell you right now that what triggers something when that person dies, like the Canadian Firearms Program or the RCMP are not notified, right? Unless you do it. Yeah. So what happens is usually that person will pass away. At some point down the road, their license will expire and it won't be renewed because they're no longer here.
Yeah.
6 months later, after that grace period is over, that's when the RCMP get a flag going up saying, hey, Jimbo didn't renew his license and he's a handgun owner. And next thing you know, you've got a knock at your door. So I know this is a little bit morbid of a conversation, but if you've got a loved one in your home or in your family, who you're not sure if they're like, first of all, check the expiry date on their PAL or their RPAL. And if it's, if they've only got a year or two left, you can go ahead and renew it now and buy yourself that 5 years.
Card or the person?
Yeah, you'll have 5 years plus 6 months before there's any red flag that goes up. So you just want to make sure that, that we can have the time to get this stuff turned back around in reverse. Yeah. And your loved one's firearms aren't taken off to the smelters. So, that's just a little trick I've been telling people is, I've had a lady write to me and her dad's pretty sick. And I'm like, how much longer does he have on his firearms license? And she's like, oh, it expires in 7 months. I'm like, renew it right now. And then you buy yourself 5 years plus 6 months. So do it right now.
Plus, as the executor, you can just hold on to them anyway, right? For a quote unquote reasonable, whatever that means.
Yeah, whatever. It depends how people interpret that, right? But yeah, I just think it's the less reasons to have the RCMP come knocking at your door, the better, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
There are one of the questions that we had, it's not on here, on our Facebook page dialogue. What about people who are out of the country? They are snowbirds and now they were non-restricted and now they're prohibited.
Even if you're out of the country, like renewing your license, you mean, or just
what? No, bringing the guns back with them because they've got an export.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I thought it's so. That's what.
Yeah.
Now all this. Like those WK-180s, right? Take them across and going to do.
Why would you take a WK-180 to the U.S.?
Yeah, you got an AR.
PCCs, I think, would be a more likely.
Yeah.
Story there. Let's talk
PCC.
Right? Yeah.
I don't really know, but I would think now a lot of people have written in to me asking, hey, I've got some AR-15s or some other guns that were, previously legal and now they're prohibited, but I'm moving. What do I do? So I think it would kind of fall under the same rule. Like I've moved twice.
With it.
Yeah, I've moved twice since we had the first gun ban, and I've moved all my prohibs with me. Right,
but you can't re-import them in.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know either. That's a good question.
Global Affairs Canada, and I will fire off an email in the morning and find out.
Yeah, there are people that are asking about it.
Okay. That's
a good question. Yeah. Let's get into some of the questions that people have. Adriel, you want to?
Yeah. Okay. Assuming the ones you started there, how can we defund Pauly? I don't know. That's a choice we can make.
I'll tell you, in the last federal election, that was my 100-day promise to gun owners is that if we can get a CPC government in charge, that's part of the stuff I lobby them for. I need like 3 weeks in the Library of Parliament. I need 3 assistants and we have to go through and audit every single department and find out, because it's very difficult to find out where the funding and the contracts and all this, it's always buried under things you wouldn't think to look, trust me, I've A-tipped I've A-tipped public safety, up one side and down the other, and you won't find it there, but then you find it in these random other departments, status of women and things like this. There's ways that they sneak funding to them all over the place. So that's my 100-day promise is that I'm going to sit in the Library of Parliament until I can identify, isolate, point out every single piece of funding they get, and then redirect it to actual programs that would reduce crime and violence, you know, at-risk youth intervention, all that good stuff, right? Stuff that would actually have a positive impact on public safety.
I will happily come intern for you in the library. Let me
know. Yeah. It would be so fun.
I'm there.
Yeah. We're going to reroute all that funding. And yes, we will defund Poly. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We had another question about making it criminal to pay those travel fees, but I think that that's going to answer it if you can find where that funding is happening.
Yeah.
One person's mentioning that the bans are annoying, but as long as we have prospecting using them again, it's just a nuisance. If they cut the amnesty to end earlier, that will suck. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they can do that. No, I don't think they can cut it earlier. Like I said, you might see something come out where they're like, hey, you know, log into this portal and upload a list of your guns before the you will not get your check. You know, I don't imagine that's ever happening anyway. So
that would be amazing.
Yeah. So do not log into that portal, whatever you do.
Many butt masters.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot of people saying that, resist and do not comply. But it's like, there's nothing to comply with.
There is no program.
That's why I said, you know, chill. Status quo, stay. Just don't go to the range with that. GSG 16. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about this. They're going to be sending them over to the Ukraine. So
can you imagine being that poor Ukrainian soldier? And as you guys know, I come from a military family. You know, I got a daughter who just came back recently from a deployment in Kuwait, and I can't fathom the thought of sending her over there with, like, first of all, either a 22, which is ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine Putin's army looking at these guys with their, you know, 22s? Like, that's ridiculous. But even if it was some of the other guns, you know, these semi-auto 5-round plinkers, like, no army in the world uses those things. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's not something, you know, for Bill Blair to make that announcement. That's not something you can even do, because in order to export those firearms, you need permission from the country of origin, the country of manufacture. And, you know, when you're talking about Switzerland, the US, all those places, they've already got arms contracts with Ukraine. That, you know, all this money that all these other countries are sending them is paying for. You think they're going to forego those contracts so we can send them some, you know, free stuff from the Canadians?
That's WK-180s for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. None of that. None of that's happening. That's not real either. That's you know what that is? That's to make gun owners look bad, so that if you oppose the force of the government, you know, with their armed police confiscating your firearms by force, then, you know, you don't stand up with Ukraine.
Like, pro-Kremlin, eh?
Yeah, you are a Russian asset. Yeah.
It is essentially virtue signaling. I had the opportunity to watch Colin Noir. He did a video. Well, he obviously did it recently, and he was talking about essentially that. So...
Yeah. Did you know, in fact, Colin Noir's podcast, his very first premiere episode, guess who his guest was?
You were.
Me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into more of the questions.
I think I've been hitting to most of them. I mean, there's not really many more. Mike was saying, hey, everyone keeps forgetting that all the machine guns were banned in the 70s. They're still in people's safes. They're all still around.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And all the rifles banned in the 90s, they're all sitting in people's safes. So.
Yeah, and all the fun little prohib handguns and stuff. Yeah, everyone's still got them.
Yep. No mass shooting conducted with FAL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's silly. Just silly.
The Sturmgewehr. No, I don't really see any other questions here, Kelly. Yeah.
We hit a lot of them. We did. So you want to talk about the other exciting thing that was happening on Monday?
Yeah. So Monday, you know, while the government's trying to ban our guns and we're fighting the liberals in the Federal Court of Appeals, our calendar arrived. Yes, yeah, so this is a 2025 Gunny Girl calendar. As you know, this is a really vital fundraiser for the CCFR Women's Program. The money we raise from selling these, and we raise about 40 grand a year selling these, we use to support, promote, and sponsor Ladies Range Days all across the country. These are real girls. They're members of the CCFR. We don't hire models. I know they look like professional models, but these are your average girls. I'm going to give you just a couple sneak peeks here. You got to buy one if you want one. But it's really cool because these are like honest, real girls from our community. Just really cool photos. Oh, yeah. You get a poster inside, a bonus poster. This is super badass. I love it. Firearm rights are human rights.
Nice. Big
ass redhead on there. Yeah, just another great collage on the back. These are, you know, we end up getting so many cool pictures that we, a couple of years ago, we started doing the poster as well. But yeah, make sure you get on the website. You go to ccfr.ca, go to the online store and order your calendar. I know things are a little weird with shipping right now because of Canada Post.
Yeah.
Normally we could ship these out like a, you know, using letter mail, using the largest letter mail. Unfortunately, we can't do that because Canada Post is. So my advice is we've got $15 flat rate shipping going on in the store right now. Add a t-shirt and a hat to it so it doesn't feel so painful paying $15 shipping. And, you know, to be honest, we still lose on that. But yeah, support the ladies of the CCFR. The back's awesome. Just fun pictures. We have such a riot every year with these girls. And yeah, it's just fun. We make friendships that last forever. So yeah, awesome. Make sure you get out and support it.
I will say that the new t-shirts are freaking awesome, by the way. I'm wearing one right now. And yeah, very nice. I'm going to buy a couple more because they are so comfortable and such good quality.
I love them. And I love these hoodies too. Yeah. Like, they changed the brand and they're just, they're so much more comfortable and they wash a lot nicer. Like, I've had this for months and months and I wash it twice a week and it still looks great, feels great. It's just, a little better quality than before and it makes such a big difference. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's also awesome when you're out in public and you see somebody across the room or like walking by and you're like, hey, what's up.
I had a guy last week. I was in Costco getting some stuff and I just hear this, hey, hey. And I'm like, what's this? And then he's like, Wilson. And he's like, you're the gun lady. And of course, all the other moms in Costco are like, what's happening? But yeah, it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, happens all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we are talking about registration. You register those because it's not a bad thing to register your calendars.
Good registration.
One-time registration, Kelly.
Yeah. This is the one-time registration does not lead to confiscation. On the back of your calendar, you'll find a little sticker in a website or an email there. You send your name and contact information in to that email address. And we'll give away prizes. I've been banned from doing lives on Facebook because Facebook hates me. So I'm going to do one big video coming up. I guess I'm just going to have to record it and put it out there. I've been waiting to get permission to go live again, and it's not happening. But I owe a bunch of draws from the 2024 season. So we'll get those caught up and start fresh with 2025. But yeah, not only do you get a cool calendar full of awesome chicks and their amazing guns, you also can win stuff. And I know, Adriel, you won twice in 1 year, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
How many Prohib guns are in that calendar?
Well, probably a lot now.
I was looking at the other one on the cover.
You count the handguns? Like eight.
Yeah. Whatever. It's okay. They're only temporarily prohibited. So, it's a temporary
measure. Did you mention, Tracy, where the money goes from the calendars?
Yeah, it goes to our women's program, and that's how we sponsor all these Ladies Range Days all across the country.
Nice.
So it's it stays back in the program, goes back around. The girls have a great time. You know, we have these amazing kind of retreat weekends, do their photo shoots. They all make friends, and they've got little chat groups. And if you keep watch on our social media, I'm sure Kelly will be sharing it too. In the new year, we're going to do some calendar signings. Yep. And that's a great way. If you're sick and tired of Christmas and family and all that stuff, by then you'll want to get out to the gun store, come see the ladies, pick up your calendar and see some friends. So stay tuned for dates and locations for calendar signings.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That.
Cool.
Sherm wide. Anything else you want to leave the listeners with?
Anything
about the CCFR?
Yeah, well, and yeah, we got some big projects coming up. Actually, we got a strategic planning session on Friday with the staff. I don't know if you guys saw, Rod had put out a little video yesterday.
Yeah.
And so he's got some big ideas. It's going to be a lot of work, but if anybody can do it, I know that we can. Of course, we'll be relying on the supporters and members of the CCFR to help us out. You got a question here. If you win in court, government will appeal for sure, but does it cancel the OIC anyway right away? Yeah, so that's a question that we put towards Loberg as well. The court can decide that we win and then uphold that decision, you know, and give the government like 6 months or whatever. Because the idea here is it doesn't matter if it's good policy or bad policy. That's not what's being tried by the courts. We know it's bad policy. It's not going to do a thing for public safety and it's all political. That's not what the court's there to try. What they're there to try was it done legally? Does the Liberal government have the authority to use an OIC to just ban property and that's it? And we think they don't. So I think there, it just depends what the judgment looks like. If the judge says, okay, that's it. The decision is the OIC was illegal and therefore it's like it never existed. Then, yep, jump in the car and go to the range. And the judge can also, or the panel of judges in their decision, can also side with us, but uphold, you know, that decision, suspend it for 6 months, a year, you know, giving the government time to do it right. And by doing it right would mean they would have to go back to the drawing table, you know, draft legislation and follow the proper legislative process. And we know from fighting C-71 and C-21, that can take 14 to 17 months and they do not have it. So to me, even if we got that, it would still suck to have to wait another 6 months or whatever until that ran out. You know, we would know that would be a win either way, because there's no way they would be able to cram legislation through like that. It's just not possible. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, the answer is, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Another question here. I thought the Governor General was the only one who can repeal OICs. Is that not the case?
Not if it's deemed to be illegal. No, doesn't have anything to do with them then. So, yeah, that's why we're fighting it in court. I mean, it's the governor in council that made the OIC that deems it. And we are questioning the authority of the governor in council to be able to do that. So, yeah, that's kind of the basis for it.
So the December 5th. That was an OIC that was on the piggybacking on top of the.
Yes. So they just added that the way it works is, although it is a second and separate OIC, they were basically adding to the first one. So yes, that decision would impact the 2020 OIC as well as the December 5th OIC.
No, that's because it's a regulation change, right? So when they update the OIC, they're basically just amending the regulation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they may do it again in February, because you heard in the, I think it was in the press conference. I don't know if it was Duclos or LeBlanc that said it, but one of them said, you know, we'll probably come back in February with even more guns to add to the list. You know, and at this point, it's just sort of like, whatever, just keep piling it on, because one way or the other, you know, they're running out of time and they've got no more runway to get it done. So we've got to... And that's what I want to tell people on a positive note. There is reason to still keep your chin up. I know we've really been taking a beating by this government for 9 years, but you know, it's always darkest before it gets light. And I think I've even said it on this show before, is it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it will get better. And these people are out of runway. There is going to be an election next year, one way or the other, whether it's in the spring, summer or fall. You're going to get a new government. There's going to be a bunch of work that we can all do to make sure that happens and make sure we get a strong, super majority conservative government. Yeah. Then they don't need the votes of the other parties to get stuff done. And that's exactly the position we want to be in. But yeah, so there is reason to stay positive. And either way, we are going to keep sticking it to these people no matter what. So you don't
at this point, honestly, it's just getting kind of ridiculous. Like, it's like somebody calling you a name and then just going insane and calling you every single name in the book. And eventually it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and I noticed like there's a marked difference between the way gun owners acted when May 2020 happened trust me, I was right there with you guys. Like, I remember watching the press conference in my living room and the language out of my mouth. Like, I'm glad my mom was nowhere near because she probably smacked me. But, you know, I said horrible things. I threw a fit. I don't know. I maybe even had a meltdown. Like, people were losing their mind. And then this kind of happens December 5th and everyone's like, yeah, whatever. It's all getting overturned anyways. Whatever. Yeah. We're funny. Like, it's almost like people don't, you know, they're almost unimpacted now, like, you know, emotionally by it, because we've just been beat up by these people so many times. And like I said, yeah, they're almost out of runway. So
yeah, they're out of here. So who cares? Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's also why they were talking about February, another announcement, because I do think you're correct. I think in the spring, obviously, if it's not the spring, it will be this fall. However, I think that we're headed into election in the spring.
I think so, too. And that would make sense because you've got Jagmeet, of course, even though he, you know, ripped up the supply and confidence agreement.
He's wanted to be on
everything ever since. So, yeah. You know, that was also just virtue signaling. That guy's a real actor. But he will qualify for that pension, I think, at the end of February. So, yeah, there's some weird timing stuff coming up. And then you'll have the spring budget. And that's a big, like, that's an automatic confidence vote. It's not one of these little ones that Polyev keeps using as, like, little PR stunts. Like, it's an actual, you know.
It is a confidence
vote. Real confidence motion. Yeah.
And yeah. I think things will be so brutal by then that, you know, Jagmeet will have his pension. He's good to go. He's got his Rolex, his Maserati. He's all set up. The country is falling apart. And yeah, maybe then he'll pull the plug and we can go to an election, which would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Initially, a lot of NDP people want Jagmeet out as well. They're just losing. Oh, yeah. I think he's part of the problem. So,
yeah, he is. He's an embarrassment. I can't imagine being an NDP MP and just being stuck there carrying water for the Liberal Party. And that's one thing we have to remember in the next election. If you've got friends who are NDP voters, and I do, I've got a friend, she can't stand Jagmeet, so she won't vote for them now. But they've got to share the blame for all of this right alongside the Liberals because they were right there to support them. So,
well, and I mean, Jagmeet rips on them every evening on Twitter and X, and, you know, you people are horrible and you're basically traitors and you're in bed with the gun lobby, in case you didn't notice, Tracy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're traitors. They're in bed with the gun lobby with big business. They're betraying our country. And the next day he votes for them. Come on.
Exactly.
Dude. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a jokester. So I think the spring will be a very busy time for gun owners in general. You know, we'll have that spring budget. Jagmeet will have his pension. Dominic LeBlanc will probably be trying to rail on gun owners with another list. There's going to be all kinds of things happening. And Rod's got a super project in mind. So you'll hear more about that in the coming days. We don't want to give it away too early, but yeah.
Perfect.
Secret agenda. I like it.
Well, we don't have time to go to the range anyway, so might as well work on the secret project.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like it. It's going to be fun. And there's going to be stuff for everybody to do. So. Go ahead. It'll be great.
And I'm using less ammo so I can donate more money to the CCFR while I'm at it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, only if you can. Like, I know things are tough out there. The economy is crap. 9 years of this Liberal government, everybody's struggling. So, you know, if you're not in a position to do anything financially, that's okay. I want you to take care of you and your family first. I mean, get your Christmas in, keep your chin up. You know, don't let this stuff ruin your life because that's what they want. And don't worry, things are pretty bright come springtime. So
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to go get some Neo Citrin and two chihuahuas and cuddle on the couch.
Awesome. That's a hell of a prescription.
Like a plan.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right. Nice to see you guys. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks again, Tracy, for coming on to the show. Let's get to listener feedback. Richard, Tony C. Slamfire, email for ITAR info. Ooh, looks like you got some help there, Tony, incoming.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, he mentioned $500 or less for ITAR. That's what my range buddy told me, but apparently you got to quote it or something. So... I'll try to, because this is no small charge, I want to make sure I do it by the book 100%. Mm-hmm. And looks like there is a provision for that. And I'm not bringing a, well, maybe in a few months it would become, but I'm not trying to bring in a prohibitive firearm part. So hopefully it's okay.
Cool.
Just cross all your I's and dot all your T's. Make sure everything's right.
Mike's saying apparently a bunch of those aircraft Brownings got surplused off the F-86 Sabres when they got phased out. I mean, there would have been a bunch of other aircraft that would have been, that would have had those as well. Maybe just people bought them.
But again,
could you imagine being around in the 50s and 60s and be like, hey, you using that machine gun on that Sabre? They're like, well, I don't know. You want to buy it? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
How much? $100? Case of beer on top of the $100.
And no pals back then either.
Yeah.
You just went and bought a machine gun.
No, yeah.
They were registered. No, you had to register machine guns after 34, I think, because communists. But yeah, you just literally go buy machine guns and it wasn't a big deal. And they weren't expensive either. It's like the 90s when you could still get FN fouls. It's like a $200 or whatever for an FN foul.
That would be a great three-gun gun, though. For,
no, it would not be.
For heavy metal.
No, well, they're big and heavy and ridiculous. But they're fun to shoot and they're a Canadian classic, which is why I want mine back. So
anyway. I don't know what to represent a Canadian shotgun, but FAL, Cooey. High power. Duh. Cooey, that's Cooey. The very Canadian combo,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, Canadian three gun. You'd be a Browning, a Cooey, break open, and a Lee Enfield.
Yeah, government surplus isn't what it used to be. Yeah, no doubt.
No.
Well, even regular surpluses, SKSs, the prices are.
Yeah. Emails, we didn't get any of those. YouTube, Tony, you want to take over the YouTube comments?
Yep, I commented saying Slamfire Warehousing Co. to store everyone's pro hips. I don't know.
How many comments did we get on our live? Oh, I can't do the ones on. So we live streamed to my channel and to Slamfire at the same time. I can't. I have a couple hundred comments on that video. My other one that I did, so I released a separate video that's like a little bit tighter to the Canadian gun ban, and it is at, I don't know, like 1,000 comments by now.
Nice. That was a good video.
Yeah, 967. It's going to be at 1,000 comments soon.
Yeah, that was a good video. Well done.
But I'm not going to read those.
It'd be longer than the Prohib podcast.
The emergency show podcast, there's 108 comments on it after it published, like after the live bit was done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. Just to summarize some of the top ones. Can I just summarize on that one? If I could just see those comments, that would be great. Sorry, Tony, keep going.
Richard mentioned some more stuff about ITAR. Apparently Canada is specifically exempt for some stuff. I'm probably going to read it. And apparently Canada may require you to register as an importer, which is free. Okay. Cowtown Tony Importing Co.
There we go. I like it.
Or, nice. I don't know, Slamfire Importing Co. Make it the whole Slamfire branding. Eddie have two comments on the short show, not the emergency show. Nice and short show this week. I like the current format with discussion while the subject is the current topic. It can get a little chaotic when there's many hosts or guests on, but it could still happen with discussion after someone finishes their segment. Yeah, we're working on that. And Tony, regarding the kind of post-strike, I think Jack Mee is vulnerable on back-to-work legislation, I believe he would be. He didn't get elected as MP until February 25th. 2019, which means if he brings down the current government before February 25th, 2025, he might miss out on his 6 year in house and his golden pension. Whether Trudeau plays that angle or not, it's hard to say. Trudeau could get support from another party, like the Bloc, claiming legislation is needed to help small businesses in the rural areas that are not served nationally by anywhere else. Here's my take on the Bloc piece, just because the blank check was not redeemed, got bounced, so I don't think the Bloc would play game again. Maybe, I don't know.
I think the Block would happily bring them down if they saw a good opportunity and maybe a few more seats for them, because it looks like they're going to do okay in the next election. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking too. And
they're going to be the majority, the opposition.
The opposition.
It's happened before. The Block was Her Majesty's loyal opposition, the Separatists. I always loved that. I loved that. That was the best. I'm like, welcome to Canada.
They'll be His Majesty's now, but.
Yep. Somewhat loyal, perhaps disloyal opposition.
The loyalty questionable opposition.
Yeah,
that's all.
On the live stream on mine, I think there's 200 comments. There's a bunch of.
I put it.
The Conservatives aren't going to do it. It's a joke. You know, these illegal handguns in the hands of criminals are the problem.
Oh, really? Okay.
Hopefully liberals lose party status. You get voted into communism, but you have to fight your way out. There's a lot of extreme. I don't know if that's extremism, but that's like not the correct stance here. These guys are losing their job in 6 months. Who cares?
And frankly, they want you to say crazy stuff. Like half the time, I think the reason they do this stuff is just to provoke you to say crazy stuff. Don't say crazy stuff. Exactly. Don't say crazy stuff. Just chill out. These guys are done. Just relax and enjoy
stand
the
your
show.
Ground, get be destroyed. Polite. Stand with the CCFR, you know?
Yep. Be polite. Be professional.
Let's keep going on here. Sponsor links. People bought some stuff from Cabela's. I see Bass Pro Fish logo short sleeve shirt. I see flannel shirt. I see more shirts. Someone bought two PMAG 7.62 AC mags. Bushnell Prime rifle scope, Top Gun Federal 12 gauge shotgun shells, 10 of them, Tannerite, two 6-packs, and some Magnum 12x20 silhouette steel target stands. Brownells, I didn't see anything, but Brownells can be a little bit slow on their tracking, so I don't know if you went through the link there, Tony, or not. But
I did. I was very sure I did.
Brownells can be slow on their track backs for
maybe
purchases.
Maybe it hasn't arrived or being delivered.
They have some manuals process for their thing. It can be slow.
One of the comments on the emergency video that you posted, Adriel, mm-hmm. My favorite comment, I read through a bunch of them. My favorite comment of it was, years ago, we dreamt of owning so many prohibs. I don't think this is what we meant.
That's good.
Well done.
Yeah. So if you want to buy something from Cabela's or Brownells, there's an affiliate link on our website. It doesn't cost you anything, but if you click through there, it'll help us with the show. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like, help us support us on Player or Patreon. If you'd like to email the show, email us at slamfireradio@gmail.com. Shout-outs and recommendations?
Shout-out to my friends Kelly and Scott who are listening right now. Hey, guys, thanks for listening.
Awesome.
Shout-out to the gentleman with the CCFR patch at my community gas station, ANW, that is in Northwest Calgary. I'm not going to be too specific, but on Sunday morning. Sorry I didn't talk to you, but I was running late for the PTSA new member day. So I picked up my lunch and I went off. But
did you give him the secret handshake at least?
I did not.
Oh, it's finger guns.
It was very shameful. Remember when a few episodes back, when we were talking about hunting and eating weird stuff, the meat eater actually have a series on that. It's called Part of My Plate. It's available on YouTube. I just watched through it. You're eating a lot of interesting things. Apparently, coyote doesn't taste as bad as we would think. So maybe I'll get myself a coyote.
I mean, they fill up on dogs and cats, and they have a pretty good life. So that makes sense.
As the only one on the show who's eaten both of those things.
Really? Where did the cat come from?
You know where the cat came from, Tony. And the dog.
I know where the dog come from. I don't know. Uh-huh.
No, you know both.
I had never even seen. I never even heard. Okay.
Yep, that's right. Trump was wrong. Anyway.
Eating the dog, eating the cat.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna. Oh, I have shout out to Tracy Wilson. Thanks for coming on and
yeah,
us the update on the and going to the court and dealing with all the court nonsense.
That was
I don't want
to. You got to check out her tweet. That is a lot.
It is freaking epic.
Like yeah, live even, tweeting it.
Given the time, I don't understand half of it, man. But I just have a comment on that. It's like they still haven't addressed what is reasonable.
Or variant.
What else? Yeah, variant. That's a big one.
Like, or whether cabinet privilege is just, we don't have to tell you anything. Trust us.
And also, FRT isn't law, but can be used to charge you? Like, what's the whole deal with that? It's kind of insane. Hopefully, we'll get a favorable result in the upcoming weeks. Maybe. Maybe hopefully. On Christmas Day.
Fingers crossed.
Ooh.
Well, before that, maybe. I don't know.
24th.
Probably after. I think they were saying like up 6 months. So,
yeah.
God, really?
Yeah. And yet we're in charge. We'd watch the evidence and go, oh, this is bullshit, man. Get out of here.
Yeah. No such luck.
Why don't we get these jobs, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Player. Oh, no. We're kind of on everything. Join the CCFR and we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week. Thanks for listening and watching.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.